Hi and welcome to the About Her show. I am Sangeeta Relan, an educationist, a writer and a lifelong learner. I also run an e-magazine for women. This podcast is about trailblazing women and their journeys, women who have broken many a barrier, many a stereotype to realize their potential. If they can do it, so can you. Welcome to the 52nd and final episode of the show, closing out season one with a twist. Today, I, your host, have stepped into the guest spotlight. Joining me in the interviewer's seat is my dear friend Anjana. It's a chance for you to peek behind the curtain, to hear my story, and to get to know the person behind the microphone a little better. So sit back, stay tuned, and enjoy the journey with us. Hi, Anjana, and welcome to this final episode of the About Her show. And dear listeners, we are here for the grand finale of season one of the About Her show. It's been an incredible journey over the past 51 weeks, exploring the diverse and inspiring stories of women who have blazed trails in various fields. But for our 52nd and final episode, we're shaking things up a bit. Instead of me leading the conversation, I'll be stepping into the hot seat while my friend Anjana, the reason behind this remarkable show, takes charge. As we bid farewell to season one, we wanted to flip the script and give you a glimpse into the person behind the show, that's me. So get ready for this special edition where the tables are turned and I become the subject of interrogation. I'm excited to see what questions Anjana has in store and also to share more about the story of my life with you. So without further ado, let's dive into this final episode. So here goes Anjana. I'm all yours.
Hi, Sangeeta. So excited and thrilled to be here and interviewing you. And it has been remarkable seeing your amazing journey.
Thank you.
As this new podcast avatar that you have taken up, it's truly been a joy to see you grow with leaps and bounds.
Thank you.
And it's amazing. You are a professor and a student. You're a blogger and podcaster. You're a book lover and a book writer. And we all know your love for saris, plants, music, people, and so much more. You're truly multi-talented, my friend, and I am so excited that I get to interview you.
You made me feel so good about myself. Yeah.
That's what you are. So tell us a little bit about your childhood and how it influenced your life path.
So, I am the youngest of three children. And so I came very late into my parents' lives. Some people used to call me a mistake because there was a 10-year age gap between my brother and I. But, if I go back into my childhood, I was quite a live wire. I mean, I was my dad's favorite and he, could let me get away with murder. I could do anything and he would never say anything to me. And my love for books and saris comes from my childhood. Books is because I guess I saw my parents reading a lot, so I picked it up from there. Saris was, I used to sing in school. I was part of the school choir and my singing teacher was a Bengali woman. So she had got me into, wearing a sari for some of the songs that we had to sing. And I, if I remember correctly, the first time I wore a sari, it was a typical Bengali lalpar, which is, got a red border and a cream background body. And my mother, of course, could not, wrap the thing around me because I was too short. So she had to fold it and, all kinds of things. So it came from there. And if I go back, hard work, academics were an integral part of our lives. I mean, we had to have various interests. And I was given a lot of freedom in my childhood. I could do what I wanted. If I wanted to take part in a debate, I could do that. If I wanted to play with the boys in the neighborhood, I could. If I wanted to climb trees, I could do. Largely my father. But then this only lasted till about I was 19, because when I was 19 years old, I lost my father. So that was a big, big setback for me because, till that point, I had all, always grown up thinking that he was my ally in the house. And my
Right.
sister and mother were on one side. I always had this thing, you know, that, they were one. And my brother was away, you know, he was in college because of the age gap. He was already, you know, in college and he was studying to become a doctor. Now, suddenly I felt that I have been left all alone. And, you know, how will I carry on further? But that's where my mother stepped in and she took charge. And like how? I mean, a
Wow.
woman who in the 1950s was the first woman in her city to complete her matriculation, go on to graduate, and then, you know, go on to work, unheard of in those days. She got married, and my parents had a beautiful understanding where they lived in two different parts of the country, still managed to make it, you know, work. My brother was born. So, you know, these kind of things, I think somewhere they, you know, were there at the back of my mind. And when my father passed away and my mother took charge, she kind of reiterated all this that, you know, you have to become financially independent, you have to be your own person, you know, all these things. So when I look back, I think I'll be eternally grateful to my parents for giving me the life, giving me this direction that I've got. I think it's all because of them. So
that's so wonderful to hear. So, as a child, then, what were your dreams and aspirations?
okay, so I graduated from one to the other. So I'll tell you. So when I was to be admitted to school, so I was born in Shillong. And then when I was born, just I believe a few hours after that, my dad, you know, was transferred to London. So for the next 6 years of my life, I was in London. Then he got transferred to a place called Kapurthala. So which is where I began my school. I was this horrible child who did not want to talk to people because I was, you know, all these hygiene things and not wanting to put my feet on the ground because it was dusty and all of that. So my parents had a dinner, you know, at their place one of those days. And I remember there was this very pretty looking girl who had come for dinner. Her name was Sangeeta. By then, I was only known by my pet name. And there and then I decided, okay, every good looking girl has this name, which I don't agree with any longer because you will find Sangeeta's all over. So next day when I went to school for my admission, the principal asked me, what is your name? I said, Sangeeta. And my parents are like, since when? So I said, since now. So my dad said, okay, if she likes this name, let her keep
it. So you changed your name then?
No, this was my name. Because
that
see,
is your name.
So we belong to a Sikh family. So how the names were kept were that they would go to a Gurdwara, take out the alphabet and,
Right.
you know, name their children accordingly. So my sister hated her name because it was a typical Sikh name. And because of that, my parents have not given me a formal name. They felt that okay, she'll also kick up a ruckus. So let's not give her a name. So I knew the name had to start with S. So Sangeeta, it became.
Okay.
So then, from then onwards, okay, so I was really fascinated by air hostesses. I felt that when I grow up, I want to travel the world. So I'll, you know, join some airline and whatever. Then I grew up and I wanted to become a newsreader because, you know, if you remember Doordarshan, there were these newsreaders with their, you know, absolutely impeccable accents and the saris. So both these things impressed me a lot. So I wanted to read news on Doordarshan because that was the only channel available at that time. And I wanted to wear saris. And I think somewhere both my dreams have come true. Saris because of my work and, you know, interviewing people, not of course a newsreader, but definitely people through my podcast. So yeah, so that's what it was.
So in a way, you are doing what you aspired for as a child.
Yes.
In your own way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's lovely. So, but how come you ended up in this space of education? What inspired you to be there?
I think it was my mom through and through because she was into teaching. And somewhere it was very clear when I remember when I was in grade 10 and, you know, till then I was very happy-go-lucky, not paying too much attention to academics. Okay, I mean, I managed to do well, but it wasn't that I put in any extra effort. So that's when, you know, when I entered grade 10, so my dad asked me this question that what is it that you want to do once you grow up? So I said, what do you mean? He says, do you want to have, I mean, do you want to be able to work, have an independent life, or do you want to get married and, raise a family? Which in any case you will also do once you work, but if you just want to do it right away. So I said, no, I don't want to do that. So he said, because in
Yeah.
case you want to just get married after your graduation, then start learning how to cook and things in the house, or else focus on your academics. So it was a no-brainer. My mom was in the field of education. My sister was already there. So I think I kind of knew. So after
It was
my,
like a natural progression for you.
yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely, absolutely. It was like that. Yeah.
Nice, nice. So, in terms of challenges, were there any challenges that you faced earlier in your career? And do you think some of them were because of your gender?
See, challenges, yes. So I think I got into this thing of facing challenges when I the first challenge was losing my father. Getting over that took me quite some time, and from a live wire, I became a completely withdrawn person. I had friends, but I was like not completely there. I mean, I would not like to go out. I wanted to be at home with my mom. I think there was also this sense of insecurity because I'd lost my father. So somewhere I felt, what if she also goes? So
Right.
became very close. And if I look back, so challenges to begin with were these, and then gradually, getting back on track, focusing on academics. And then once I started doing that, the challenges of facing, yes, she's a girl. My cousins
Correct.
who were younger to me were getting married. I didn't have a father. So there was a lot of family pressure that, telling my mother that you get her married because if something happens to you, what will happen to her and stuff like that. And I saw how my mother withstood all of that. She stood her ground and she said, nothing doing. I am here for her and I will make sure that she becomes independent. So I did that. Then, of course, I got married and I got sucked into this, obviously, your family and husband and all of that. And my husband, he was a high-flying corporate executive. So, the challenges of, taking care of the house and the children and balancing your various roles, all that happened. So, gender-wise, I don't think in particular because of my profession, it is such that you don't really face a lot of gender issues. But yes, one thing that I've always faced in my career is that I like to take early morning classes because I finish once I am done with that, then I have the rest of the day to do whatever I want. So when my children were young, I thought I could, give them more time or even my home and my family. And my
Right.
colleagues always used to say, "Are ye to, these are women and they will not stay on, till evening." And I used to tell them, for what? I mean, if I have two classes, I've done everything that I have to do, why should I keep sitting here? So these kind of
You've
snide,
done what was required, so
absolutely.
right,
So these kind of
yeah.
snide remarks I've heard over the years, but I always used to, just brush them aside. And other than that, of course, the roles that women have to play, it was difficult to juggle. It was difficult to play all the roles. And somewhere I feel I was also one of those who felt that I was a superwoman and I could do everything. And I would like to tell, the young girls of today that don't think like that. You're not. If you
Yeah.
can't do something, just say it. Reach out.
True.
If you don't tell your partner or people around you that you can't do it, they're
Yeah.
not readers. They can't read your mind and, determine or
Correct. Speak it
decide.
out.
So these were the kind of things. But I think now, of course, challenges continue to be a part of your life. And I think they are what make you resilient. And I think you need them in your life to make you a better person. But other than that, I don't think there was anything really earth-shattering that happened in my life. Of course, the first one being my dad going away.
That not being there. Okay. So speaking about teaching as a career, what are some of your important tips over the years that you feel you have learned, and that you can impart with somebody who wants to get into teaching? Few main pointers you feel you can impart.
First is have a fantastic grasp on your subject. If you don't know what you're doing, believe me, the students are not fools. They will figure out in just a few minutes or maybe a couple of classes that this class is not worth it. So know
Got
what
it.
you're doing, know your subject very well. Then have great communication skills, because if I know my subject but I'm not able to communicate, I'm not a teacher.
Got it.
You know, I could be a researcher, but I can definitely not be a teacher if I cannot communicate what I know. And thirdly, I think have a fabulous relationship with your students. I think they open up to you. You are able to help them more if you keep the channels of communication open, because I feel as a teacher, I am not there only to impart formal education or covering the syllabus that we have. I'm also there to guide them, mentor them in other aspects of their life. You know, personal, professional. I feel once a teacher, always a teacher. And I can tell you, with over more than 30 years of teaching experience, I have some beautiful relationships with some of my students. I mean, some of those who are now, I hate to say it, but they are 48, 49, because I started teaching when I was just 22. I have some fabulous students over there, and we continue to be there for each other. And this is the feedback that I get from them, that we always felt that you were very, very approachable, and we could just you know, be there. And another thing, which I actually, it's a something that got reiterated yesterday, be very well turned out. Because you know, a student who comes into college at 18, 19, they look up to their teachers.
Correct.
So if you are sloppy, dowdy, you're not going to make a good impression, and you're not going to be a good role model. So this is actually one of my students who came up to me yesterday, and she said, "Ma'am, I want to be like you when I grow up." And she
So
wanted to.
inspire the students in every
Oh,
which way,
yes, because
right?
I think you have you know, different kinds of responsibilities towards them. So you have to be there for them. So yeah, that's pretty much what I feel.
That's wonderful. And I think these tips, in any profession, these can be applied, you can be a role model in so many ways than the most obvious, obvious of the things that you are asked to do. So I think that's what you have been doing for years, and it shows, in the love that students have for you. So
Oh, I
that's really
absolutely
nice
love
to hear.
them. I'm only teaching. I always tell them I'm only teaching for you. I'm not interested in the administrative part of my work at all. I only do it when it's absolutely necessary. I love being with them, talking to them, chatting with them. I just love it. Yeah.
That's nice. So tell me this now, as humans, we face various highs and lows, ups and downs. And with you juggling so many things all the time, how do you stay motivated? How do you keep on track?
So I'll tell you, you know, first of all, I think whatever you do, if it is coming, the desire, the drive to do it is coming from within. Then that work part can never demotivate you. You know, you may face challenges, there may be obstacles along the way, but you know that you will find a way around them. So having a very, very positive mindset, just know that you have to stay the course. Of course, there are other kinds of challenges that come along the way, emotional and, you know, ups and downs, you know, on different days. But I just feel that I always believe that if there is an uphill, there is a downhill. If there is a downhill, there has to be an uphill. So tomorrow is going to be better. And today, if I cannot do what I want to do for various reasons, listen to music, read a book, go for a walk, just go to sleep maybe for a while, go meet a
Take a
friend,
break.
have a cup of coffee, just take a break, because sometimes, you know, you're going through some emotional trauma. Just talking and venting also helps. You're not looking for a solution. You're just kind of, you know, wanting to, how should I say, dump or discard whatever that garbage that is collected in your head, and just have a cleaner, clearer mind for tomorrow. And tomorrow will come. That's what I feel.
True. I think taking a break and realigning yourself, I think that's some of the best things you can do.
Absolutely.
And that helps one to keep motivated and on track.
Yeah.
So wonderful. And what are some of your most valuable life lessons that you feel you have learned through your life experiences that you can share?
See, I have learned, so yes, I've been through various like ups and downs, like, I mean, just at the, you know, cost of repeating myself, starting when I was 19. What it made me learn was that one thing, of course, you lose your loved ones. They may not be there physically with you. You learn to accept the loss. It's not that you forget them. It's just
Right.
that you learn to accept. And then what I learned was that focus on the happy moments, the joyful times that you spent with them. Because see, this is a reality you cannot change. So in fact, after both, now of course my parents are not there, my brother is also not there. So one does feel, you know, that the family has become very small. We just the two of us, my sister and I. So I just feel, so even when we, you know, sit and talk, cherish those moments and cherish the time that we have with each other. So my sister and I, we have, you know, kind of developed this pact where we meet more than we used to meet earlier. We talk to each other because I feel that, you know, these moments are very precious. Also, I feel it's very important as you go along to declutter your life. You know, many times you come across people who don't give you very good vibes or who are not very positive towards you, but you just let them be because they've been with you for a very long time. And I am one
Right.
person who cannot break off relationships. I feel it's okay. But no, it's not okay. If somebody is trying to tell you something with their words, with their actions, believe them and just have a few friends, maybe two, three, four. You don't need a whole army of people, but have the ones who will cheer for you, like they say when you're not in the room. Something which I have learned, and of course, keep your emotions in check. I am all heart. So sometimes I've got into a lot of hot water because of using my heart rather than my head to, you know, analyze or just, you know, kind of evaluate situations. So this I have learned the hard way that no, this is not the way to be. There has to be a balance. A bit of heart, a bit of head. Yeah.
Bit of head. Correct. So tell me one thing that you wish you knew when you were 19.
Oh, I wish I knew that the lack of confidence that I felt at that time, which held me back from doing various things, is only a matter of time.
I
I
think that for most young girls these days as well, or any time, right?
Yes, you can just, it is just a little thing, which it's just like a little thorn, you know, which you can just pluck out and throw it away. It's all in the head. You just have to be, you know, expose yourself, go out there. It just happens with time. Don't be in a rush. Things will happen, but they will happen when they're supposed to happen. So I think that's what I would like to tell my 19-year-old.
So be patient, be on track, and just keep going,
Yes,
right?
absolutely. Yes.
So as a successful woman, you have achieved so many things over the years and you're constantly striving. How do you think the world takes to a successful woman?
Oh, I think it's bit of everything. There are people who are always rooting for you. They're very happy to see you. I mean, your family, your close friends, they're very happy to see you taking strides, following your dreams, passions, you know, doing whatever they think you want to do and, you know, getting to where you want to. But of course, there are those naysayers who will always pick holes. Okay, she's doing this, then maybe she didn't do that. You know, so if she's, doing so much in a day, maybe she's not taking care of the house, you know. So there will be people. So, but I think, we all know that different kinds of people make up this world. So, like they say, thoda khatta, thoda meetha, it's okay. You know, it's only the presence of one that will, help you appreciate. So, if there are good people in your life, you will appreciate them only when you see others who are not so nice to you. So I think, but overall, women following their dreams and passions and getting to them, getting to achieve them, is seen very, very positively in today's world. People are understanding that women do have, you know, desires. They do want to do things that they want to, and they are working towards them. So yes, there is a lot of applause, a lot of appreciation for that.
So there's a trend that I've been noticing a lot these days with women. There's a lot of career switching, different gears being switched. What's your take on that?
I think it is a wonderful thing that is happening because it speaks about how people, both men and women, are evolving. And also, it speaks about, like certain basic needs. I mean, it speaks about our ability to take care of our basic needs. I mean, we have the financial wherewithal. And we've reached a stage where we can think about other things which enrich our lives. So most of us, I think, in fact, not only our generation, but even today's generation, the first few years of your life, which is probably the 10, 15 years of your life, have to be spent, earning a livelihood, getting the basic things for yourself, whatever you want. I mean, I'm talking about the material things. But slowly, this awareness is coming that it's not only the material aspect of life which is important. We need to look beyond. Look towards doing things which feed our soul, give us inner happiness. So whether it is writing, it is swimming, it is cycling, it is singing, it's dancing, it could be anything. It depends on a person's interest. I think it just makes you a wholesome person. And I think we are blessed because not only are we getting this awareness, but we have so much inspiration around us. This is one reason we can thank social media for, because you see on social media, you can see people doing so many different things. I mean, gone are the days when people did things and nobody got to know about it. Now people are doing, they are talking, they're posting pictures, reels, talking about it. So there is this, so much inspiration. So I think we're living in a wonderful world, and it's just that I think we need to get out of whatever is holding us back, not let things hold us back, and just go out there and try. I mean, you want to sing, try it out. If you can't, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. Try something else. So I think it's a beautiful thing that's happening. Yeah.
Nice. So you do so many different things in a day. How do you juggle all these various roles and do them so efficiently?
I don't know whether I'm doing them efficiently or not. I'm doing them. So, I'll tell you, this was like nothing that I knew how to do. In fact, like I mentioned earlier, I used to believe, very strongly, firmly believe that I can do everything. So I've gone through that stage and phase where I've tried doing everything and pretty much fallen flat on my face several times. So experience life lesson that you can't do everything. So don't try. So what I do is that every night before I go to sleep, I have a list of things. So actually, I have about nine areas in my life where which I want to be able to touch every day. And in those nine, I have different things, of course. If I have to go to work, then what do I have to do there? If it's my PhD, then what is that I have to do on the coming day? So I make a list. Then I definitely prioritize. I look at what is important. Then I reach out to people, like supposing there are guests coming at home and I'm not going to be available to, maybe to entertain or even to make things available, I will inform that I'm not going to be there. So, I need help, or I can't do it today. I want to do it some other day. Similarly, like if I have a meeting or something and I can't make it and somebody else can do it for me, I will reach out and seek help. And finally, if despite everything I can't do it, I let it be. It's okay. Not worth killing yourself for. There is another day. You will get another chance. So fine. If I know from my inside, if I know from within me that I tried my best, but I could not do it, and nobody else can judge that for you. So if I know that I tried and I couldn't do it, then it's fine. Then we'll do it tomorrow. That's how I function.
So give it your best, live the day to the fullest.
Absolutely.
And it's okay. It's okay if few things are not done. There's always another day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. One person that you could switch your life for a day, who would it be?
One person I could, also, does it have to be someone who's alive or,
No, anybody, anyone who comes to your mind, you could be in their shoes for a day. Or more than a day, if you fancy.
Okay, so it may sound a bit cliched, but I would like to be in the shoes of my mother and see what it was like growing up and striving for that independence in those days when women were not known to do that. I want to be able to experience that, that freedom of traveling alone. And like I said, in the 1950s, going to different parts of the country on her own, exploring, figuring things out, staying as a PG, I would love to do that. I mean, nowadays, of course, we have every facility available. Those were not those days. So I would definitely like to experience that. Yeah.
That's lovely. That's lovely. And tell me this, 10 years from now, where will Sangeeta be?
Okay, so Sangeeta will, of course, whatever area she's doing in. In fact, I'll tell you something. This is very interesting. Most of the times, I don't get time to sit and think or reflect, you know, about life in general. So the other day, I had gone somewhere. Okay, if I may admit, I'd gone for a facial. And there you can't look at your phone, you can't talk to anyone. So you're pretty much left your own devices. And while there, so it wasn't a 10-year plan, but I was just thinking that where is it that I want to go? So definitely, I want to be able to complete my PhD. Then I want to get my first book out, which is, of course, on the way, and then work towards the second. Make my podcast better, bigger, because it's not only about me. It is about the women who I'm getting out there to, you know, talk about their work, showcase, because I feel women really lack, you know, when it comes to talking about themselves and what they do. I mean, we feel that our work will speak for itself, but it doesn't always do that. And I want to be able to draw out many more women and, you know, inspire them, motivate them, encourage them to, you know, just utilize their potential, because everybody has tons of it. We just don't tap into it. We just let it go. Don't. So I want to be able to do this as much as possible. And here, age is no barrier. I would like to talk to young girls, middle-aged women, even women who feel they're over the hill. No, nobody is. You can do anything at any point in time. So I see myself doing this, I mean, more and more of this. So, yeah.
And it's a wonderful platform for so many women to voice themselves in public. Because I think as women, you rightly said, we get so caught up in our work. Yeah, we never really have the time to voice it out. So this platform truly is a wonderful gift for so many. And my last question to you, Sangeeta, and I think that's your favorite question as well. Yes. Do you think, can a woman have it all?
She already has it. She doesn't. She, I mean, it's her. The woman does not know it. I think, okay, so on a serious note, having it all, first of all, means having what you want. Your desire, your needs, your drive. So first of all, every woman needs to figure that out. You need to know what is it that you want out of your life. If it's lying on a couch all day long, so be it. Nobody is there to judge. Nobody is there to question. It is you. So first of all, figure out what you want and then go for it. You may not get everything you want at the same time. That's not possible. But when you are maybe 70, 80, and you look back on your life, you should feel that, yes, I did manage to get it all. I did manage to do what I wanted to do. That, I think, the feeling of fulfillment and satisfaction that a woman can get is fantastic. And as far as different things are concerned, we are like, I think we're blessed. We can do so many things at different times. You know, rather at the same time, men, I think, find it challenging to balance different roles. We, I think, are genetically, you know, I think, blessed to be able to do that. So we already have it. It's just that sometimes we don't realize. We wait for others to appreciate, acknowledge, and no, believe in yourself. You already have it. So, yeah.
Lovely. On that note, thank you so much. It was truly wonderful interviewing you. And I know you as a dear friend, and such wonderful conversations we always strike. So this is just a small extension of that, I feel. And there's so much more to you. Such a warm-hearted person you are. And I think you have so much to offer to so many people. A lot of inspiration from you, Sangeeta. Truly wonderful.
Thank you so much. And as I mentioned, had it not been for you, I would never have gone on this path of podcasting. It's thanks to you. And of course, thank you for all the wonderful things that you've said about me. But yes, I'm just following my heart, my passions. Thank you.
It shows. It shows in the energy you carry, because that can only come when you're following your heart. So it's visible in everything you do. So keep up the great work. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the About Her show. We've had some interesting conversations with accomplished women on our other episodes, so make sure to check them out. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. Follow About Her on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And visit our website www.abouther.in for some wonderful content. And if you know of a trailblazing woman who you think would be a great guest on our show, please write to us at web.abouther@gmail.com.